Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. What a joy to tell you why in a day or two it'll be Christmas Day. And I wish you all a very happy Christmas, because Jesus is being worshipped and Jesus is the reason for the season. What a joy it is to know Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Saviour of the world, whose redemption is known to all who repent and believe in him. Well, let me take you into the Word of God again and share with you again some of the precious truths that are found here and tell you what the Word of God says and apply it to our lives. You see, the packaging that Jesus came as a baby is terribly important to us. We need to understand that this dear Savior was a baby child. This dear Savior came as a babe in Bethlehem, laid in a manger. Lo, the cattle are breathing upon him, and there is a moo from a cow and a moan from a calf. There's a bleat of a sheep, and there are creatures that are looking on. There's a mother and her husband. There are some kings that come and worship and some shepherds who come to see. It's an enormous and wonderful story. I want you to see the spectrum of it all. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, I suppose some of you have been to Bethlehem, and I expect you've been to some of the Orthodox type churches there. Some of the Orthodox churches have had you kneel down and look through a glass covered hole, and you have seen where the manger is supposed to have been. Or maybe you were with the other crowd that went to the caves. And in the caves, you can see how easy it was that the poor people gathered together to be registered in the city of David. You can see easily how they were all sort of globbed together in this underground place. Maybe that's the place where Jesus was born. I don't really care if we've identified it or not. What I do identify with is this. There was no place, there was no room for Jesus in the inn. There was no reasonable place for a pregnant lady to lay her weary body down, having travelled a great distance. There was no place for Jesus, even though this baby was to be royalty above royalty. Jesus was to be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He was to have authority over all the nations and will have authority over all the nations. When eventually all the nations of the world club together and join one another in a fight against God, the Bible in Revelation says at that time, suddenly, Jesus will come in the clouds with might and glory, and he will be absolutely acknowledged as Lord of Lords. He will have the great position in the world scene, in the universe that God has created, all power that is given unto him in earth and heaven and under the earth, all power. Now, I would like to remind you of a few things historical. If you turn to Ezekiel, and I think it's the 38th chapter, you will discover there that old Ezekiel is watching things happen to Israel. There's a valley of dry bones. Oh, and he longs that the valley of dry bones will come together. And he sees them come together in might and power. And flesh comes upon the bones, and the people become a massive army. He sees that. And I think we might see something of that if we live long enough in the short near while. But that's a different story. But then he goes into the temple and he watches. And while he's watching in the temple, he sees something happen that he didn't understand. He saw the glory of God come from the Holy of Holies and rest for a few moments in the outer court. And then he saw the amazing spectacle of the glory of God go up into heaven. He says, I beheld the glory of God depart, not just from Israel, but from the earth. Now, historically, from that time until the birth of Jesus, please understand what I'm saying, were 400 years. In those 400 years, it is said that God was silent. He didn't speak. He didn't reveal his mighty arm, which is salvation and redemption. He didn't reveal himself to the world in any way at all, especially to the Israelites. We may look at Israel today and say that God is not really revealing himself to them. He is letting them suffer, and he is causing the suffering to come from different places, from those that call God Allah, which doesn't mean God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean the purity and holiness of God at all. God is love, and if God was Allah, there would be love being expressed from those that say they love God in the person of Allah. But I think that Allah is a symbol for Satan, and I think it's a tragic thing that has taken place in the world. 20 years ago, we would never have thought this would happen. But now suddenly we are faced with an anti-Christian attitude. And it's Allah, not God. It's viciousness and unkindness, not love and purity. And so we see no glory in the people that think they love God. Also, those of us that love the Lord Jesus, we have allowed Christmas to take over from Jesus. And instead of Jesus being the focal point has become a Christmas tree. It has become a candle. It has become lights. It has become a journey into the snowy places and all sorts of things like that. And we have lost the principle. We have lost direction. We have lost hold of Jesus. For some strange reason, all sorts of things have entered into our hearts and minds, and they have taken over. Now, listen to this, because it's incredible. We read that there was a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This is after the shepherds had gone to see this thing that was shown to them. And they went to see this thing. They went to see the baby, and they bowed in front of the baby Jesus, and they beheld his glory. John, in his gospel, starts in the first chapter, verses 12 through 14, and he says, we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. He says, we saw what went out of the temple. In Ezekiel's day, we have seen the return of the glory of God. Today, many people try to say, there is no glory in Jesus. People will tell you that he is only another prophet, a prophet that lived a good life but was crucified. It was the Romans that crucified him. Listen to the Bible. Jesus said, I lay down my life, no man taketh it from me. Not the Romans, not the Jews. Nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down that I may take it up again. Resurrection. That I may take it up again. Nobody took Jesus' life from him. He was not murdered, as some people in modern writings have said. Jesus laid down his life. He said, I lay it down for my friends, and ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. The glory of God is revealed in Jesus. Jesus said, you and I, we are one. You and I have become one. But let's look at the story so that we don't go too far away from the Christmas story itself. And in the beginning, in verse 1 of chapter 2 of Luke, we read this: "It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus unto all the world should be registered." The census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you: you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go now unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those that heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told them. Now, if you look at all of that wonderful statement from the second chapter of Luke, you will see that God's glory returned to earth. But it's not found in a temple. It's not found in some church, some cathedral, some wonderful obelisk that a man has made. It is shown, and it shines through a child. A little child, God wrapped his present in a baby. This present was to be greater than you and I can ever imagine. This present was so great that it could say to the person who had leprosy, "Let me lay my hand upon you and be cleansed." And Jesus laid his hand upon the leper, and the leper was cleansed. Can you imagine that? Nobody would touch a leper. Even the doctors used little sticks as a rule to pare back the clothing to see how the leprosy was being infected in a person's body. They very seldom touched the body. The person that had leprosy had to enter town crying, "Unclean, unclean," ringing a bell and letting everybody look at him and say, "He's got leprosy. You can't touch him." I want to say to those of you who today have done things and said things and been in places where you should never have gone, there is a bright future for you, because God so loves you that he sent his son to die for you, that you might be cleansed of sin. There is the package. Open the package today at Christmas and see that Christmas is the dawning of a new life. see that Christmas is not just a collection of valuable jewellery or a clicking-clacking watch or some clothes that you will wear but will grow old and have holes in them and be thrown away. Don't look at those things. Look at this. When Jesus came, he came as the Son of God. His purpose was to lay down his life that you might be washed in the blood and cleansed from your sin. Greater love hath no man than this. Jesus said it very clearly, and he said it so passionately, yet very quietly and understanding, knowing that man gets frightened when he thinks of the glory of God, when he knows that no man has seen God at any time. And even Moses couldn't look on the beauty of God. He had to look on the backward parts as God passed by. And he had to recognize that when God had passed by, all he saw was the backward part of God. And it changed his whole being. He became luminescent. His beard and hair turned snow white. His face was shining. Can you imagine being in the presence of God and being changed? God sent his Son at Christmas so that you would understand, without being threatened in any way at all, that God so loves you, that he gave himself for you, that God sent his Son to deliver you from whatever it is that's overshadowing you and causing you great spiritual alarm and pain. Listen to the story again and again. One of the things I will point out to you is that shepherds were not necessarily very rich, and they weren't very high on the strata of society. They smelled a lot. They smelled like the animals they slept with and walked with. And when King David said that he was a shepherd, he knew exactly what he was talking about, for when he returned to the fold every night with his sheep, he counted them. When Jesus said there were 99 that safely laid in the shelter of the fold, but one had gone astray, and the shepherd went out and in a thicket found, having heard the bleating of the lamb, he found the little lamb. And he reached down and pulled it out of the thicket and put it upon his shoulder. And he cried out to the other shepherds in the area, "Rejoice with me, for that which was lost is found. That which was dead is alive." That's Christmas. That's Christmas. When we come to the Lord Jesus and allow ourselves to put him first in our lives and receive him as our Savior and our Lord, when his redemption washes us and fills our soul, when his great love fills us with the admiration and grace of God. Oh, what a joy it is to be called Christian! What a joy it is to bear the name of Jesus! What a joy it is to say, "I am a saint, because Jesus washed me wholly, absolutely, and I am clean every bit." What a joy it is to be able to stand and say, as a Christian, "I walk with him and he walks with me. I talk with him and he talks with me." And we have relationship, a relationship that holds us in oneness with each other. The Apostle Paul seemed to understand something that most of us don't. He said, for him to live was Christ, yet it wasn't his life that he was living, it was Christ that was living inside of him. So in other words, the attitudes of Jesus was shining through the apostle. I don't know what your situation is exactly, but I know that there are many Christians who do not have that relationship with the Lord Jesus, and therefore the glory, the beauty, the holiness does not shine. It's necessary that we allow it to shine into our lives. And you may allow it to shine in your life if you come with haste like these shepherds did. Later on, we read in Matthew's gospel how it was that there were rich men that came and worshipped Jesus. It's caught in the old carol, "We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we've travelled so far. We bring gold and frankincense and myrrh." And they brought to Jesus the ingredients to embalm his body right at the beginning of his life. They brought him gold, I suppose, because he was soon having to escape from Herod, and his father needed some cash money to get him as far as Egypt and then back to Nazareth again. There's things to understand here, and the things that we need to understand, rich people may come, and there is no taxation upon your richness. Poor people may come, and there is no looking down upon you in any way at all. Jesus says that he would lift you up. He would lift you up out of a horrible pit. He would put your feet upon the solid rock. He would put a new song in your mouth. And those new songs, we will sing this in the next few days. And in the next Sundays in our churches, we will sing these beautiful old carols. Oh, the one thing I miss from England was on Christmas Day, listening to the bells pealing from the church. The spires of the churches came alive, and we used to listen as the bells would pick up from one church to another, and they would cruise the sound and the beautiful music in tones that can only be imagined from the bells of the belfry. I remember listening one Christmas Eve, and it was a most emotional time. Our little girl had suddenly been terribly, terribly ill. We were told she wouldn't live but die. Now she was alive, and she was just almost 3 months old. Here was a beautiful song. It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old. Angels bending near the earth plucked their harps of gold, and they played it from the local church, and I stood in the attic window and listened, looked at the sky full of sparkling stars, and in the darkness and in the light of those stars, there was a glory. It was in the room beneath me. There was a glory. A little girl was living. She was supposed to have been dying. She is now over 50 years old. She is a mother herself with three lovely children. What a joy! Oh, that was a Christmas gift. You can't help but understand. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Here's the glory! Here's the glory of God being revealed. The glory is a child was born. The glory is the packaging of redemption is in Jesus." Should we not turn all our attention to Jesus? Should we not come humbly to the place where we see manger and lowing animals? Is it not a situation, not necessarily of poverty, but a place where most of us wouldn't be? I grew up in a city. I didn't really understand all this business of a manger and a stable. It didn't make much sense to me as a boy. But now I am a man, and I have had my own horses, and I have ridden, and I have had animals, and I have worked with cows, and I have worked with sheep, and I understand them. I realize that it's a different world. We need to step out of the tinsel and the shabby shame of our cities and understand that the governments of the world are pushing us into these collective places of living for their own purposes. And we need to see the wideness of the glory of Jesus. As I came to the studio this morning, the sun was rising as I was well on my way. I had to be careful. It was slippery from the frost. So I wasn't going very quickly, but the sky was abundant in the beauty. And I was thinking, when Jesus Christ arises, he fills the skies. His glory is obvious. And we who live here, In this part of the world, we see the glory of God often revealed in the brilliance of the sunlight, in the brilliance of the beauty of a new day, in the thunder and the lightning. We see God revealing himself. Oh, what a Lord God we have in that he gave us such a gift at Christmas. Here, come to your church today. Open your heart to Jesus. Unravel the packaging. See the babe of Bethlehem. Understand that your redemption is drawn nigh. And Jesus lives because he came to take away our sin. And he will never fail you if you simply say, Lord Jesus, fill my heart, fill my soul, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Will you do that this Christmas and rejoice for the rest of your life? Let's bow in prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, thank you for the beauty of Christmas, the magnificent wrapping of the gift that you have given. Thank you for the gift. It's remarkable to us that you should so love us that you could send your Son to redeem, rescue us from the things of this world. Open our hearts now. Hold us tightly that we may rejoice in our families that Jesus is alive. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, Father of all things. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being our Savior, our Lord and all. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Saints, look up. Your redemption is right here. The Lord bless and keep you. Bye-bye.